But first, Attorney General Mark Brnovich is suing the Arizona Board of Regents for raising tuition to an inappropriate level over the past decade. There's a frequently cited phrase in the Arizona Constitution that requires costs to attend ASU, U of A, or NAU to be as nearly free as possible. Even taking into account the hundreds of millions in state funding that have been cut from university budgets, Brnovich says the regents have been violating that constitutional phrase, and the Attorney General is with me to talk about that suit and other issues. Mark, first of all, what ultimately drove you to this action against the regents?
Quite simply, Steve, the Arizona Constitution provides that educational instruction will be nearly as free as possible. And it's something that we haven't talked about here as a state in a long time. My kids now are in high school, and so they're starting to get ready for college, and you talk to their parents, you're at sporting events, whatever. And there was this constant theme about, can you believe how expensive ASU is? Can you believe how expensive U of A is? And it was shocking to me. You know, someone who paid about, in the late 80s, $625 a semester, to now all like the more than $10,000. It was shocking to me. And so that was kind of percolating in the back of my head. And, you know, I'm a constitutional guy. And I was like, you know, why is no one talking about this issue? And then what ended up happening is, you know, we were involved in litigation with the community colleges regarding the DACA recipients and what tuition they should or shouldn't be paying. And during the course of that, you had the Board of Regents vote to say that even after we went to the Court of Appeals and after the Arizona voters approved Prop 300, that they were going to keep the tuition lower for the DACA recipients. And, you know, we had sent them a letter asking them to explain that. And then they basically made some compelling policy arguments. And I've said this before, is that no one is more sympathetic to immigration reform than I am. I'm a first generation American, and I understand the opportunity in the American dream. And I think education is the key to that. Every middle class parent dreams of being able to send their kids to college. And so when we got the response back, I started telling our folks, because we were just considering our legal options, I said, well, why is no one talking about the fact that if you want to talk about accessibility, why aren't we talking about accessibility to everyone? Why aren't we talking about looking back to what the Constitution requires and making sure that every kid in Arizona that graduates from high school has an opportunity to have an affordable education?
Legislature has cut the funding to the universities by a tremendous percentage. So why not either include the legislature in this suit and put pressure on them to do this? What else are the universities supposed to do to stay viable?
Steve, first and foremost, if you look at the actual amount of legislative cuts, and this is one of the things that, you know, people, the Board of Regents, the university community point out, that in, you know, 2008, you know, the legislature cut about $390 million from their budget. But as our lawsuit points out, that was one of the first things I had our people look at. But if you look at the tuition increases, tuition over that same period has gone up by about $1.5 billion with a B. So they've actually increased the tuition and fees more than the legislature cut. And so for us, I kept coming back to this more fundamental question is, well, wait a minute, what are they spending all this money on? And do they have a policy that is geared towards making it nearly as free as possible?
Is this another potentially right versus left argument in the sense we see a lot in education in Arizona, though, in terms of the right tends to say for K-12, too much is spent on administration, there's wasted money there and there. And it almost sounds as though you're saying that a lot of administrative costs, what's going on, you have new buildings. Are you saying that, Mark?
Steve, I would say this isn't an issue of right or left, it's an issue of right or wrong. And if you believe in the Constitution, I think that if you're, let's say you're someone right of center, you'd say, well, wait a minute. Maybe you don't like that provision nearly as free as possible, but that's what the Constitution requires. If you don't like it, go change the Constitution. Until we get to that point, I will defend the law as it is. And so that's the requirement. At the same time, so, you know, that may appeal to maybe some folks that are left of center. But at the same time, I do think there is a fundamental question of when we see these new buildings going up and the universities buying property and they're paying bonuses to, you know, not only the professors, but also to the, you know, presidents of the university, you know, depending on rankings, which actually creates an incentive to spend more per student instead of keeping costs down. So all of a sudden, then you say, well, if you're a fiscal conservative, you start saying, well, what are the universities spending their money on? What is driving these costs? And shouldn't somebody be taking a look at it? And in our system, the regents were supposed to be that check.
Did you do an end around here? Because there was a lot of pressure because of the DACA situation. The name Russell Pierce, of course, came up. Did you have this in your mind to do, but you thought the timing of it in such would sort of put DACA down the list a little bit as far as the in-state tuition for DACA?
I think that what happened was, as a result of the DACA issue, it spurred, at least in my mind and the lawyers on our team, a broader kind of discussion. We started looking at, well, what does the state law require? What are the universities saying? What is their legal response? I kept coming back to our folks saying, I don't understand. We keep talking about policy and accessibility. And if we're going to talk about that, with DACA, you're talking about approximately 300 students in the entire state university system. Meanwhile, you've got tens of thousands of other students that are in the system, and no one's talking about why their tuition has gone through the roof. So to me, what happened was that case provided an opening, and now we are going to have a bigger and broader discussion, and we're going to go back to those first principles. What does the Constitution require? I may be completely wrong about this, but I felt like, you know, the emperor has no clothes. Like, someone needed to have this conversation. Someone needed to talk about this.
Could this be a fairly nasty battle? We heard the regents say they wanted to wait until the state Supreme Court acted. You're obviously not letting them wait around for that. Should we expect some fire and brimstone here?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I can't predict what's going to happen or not happen. People have said, oh, well, you're doing this for X reason or Y reason. For me, myself, you know, this is something that I did very, very reluctantly. I mean, because I understand as someone who's litigated, tried cases that, you know, once you get into the courtroom, there's a level of unpredictability. There's unknown unknowns and there's known unknowns. And so I don't know what ultimately may happen, but I do know that what the Constitution requires, it says what it does. And I'm guessing that there are going to be some people, we've ruffled some feathers. And if you don't like the law, you change the law. But me as the AG, I got to follow the law as it is, not as I want it to be.
Let's move on to another big case your office is involved in, and that is the company called Insys, which was involved with a product called Subsys, which had fentanyl in it, which some will say is 50 times as strong as heroin. Why go after Insys, and what are you going after them on?
Well, we are alleging that they basically violated our consumer protection and fraud laws. The allegations in our complaint are very disturbing if you look at them. When people start talking about fueling the opioid crisis, and granted, this was a mist, but it was very, very powerful. It was meant for, approved by the FDA for folks that have like terminal cancer or, you know, really serious pain that can't be addressed in their ways. What happened was the drug manufacturer literally would lie to insurance companies and say that patients had, you know, breakthrough pain, they had cancer, basically making misrepresentations so the insurance company would pay for the medication. And then on the same time, the drug manufacturer, there was three doctors here in town that were responsible for about two-thirds of the prescriptions. And these doctors were getting speaker fees, you know, six-figure amounts to basically, as soon as they started prescribing this, their speaking fees and contributions or, you know, compensation from the drug company went way up. And so for us, I look at that, and you're not telling patients or you're making misrepresentations what the drug's approved for. You're encouraging doctors to overprescribe or prescribe it when it's not necessary. And then you're manipulating insurance companies to get them to pay for it, which affects all of our insurance rates. So to me, this was a no-brainer.
I think we're talking about a 4 to 5 year period there. You know, Arizona wants to be a business-friendly state. Does that influence you in any way when you're thinking about whether to prosecute this? Could you have decided to jump in a little bit earlier? Tell me about your timing here.
I tell our lawyers one of the things we always talk about is we were going to do things the right way, not the fast way. And maybe this goes back to my DOJ days where sometimes you're very methodical. But the point is, I remember you, Steve, you knew me when I was running. I used to sometimes you journalists would make fun of me because I'd talk about the sword of justice. But when you have the power of government, you can take away people's livelihoods or life, liberty, property, even an indictment, even an investigation can affect, you know, people's lives or their stock or their finances. And so we try to be very, very careful and deliberate. And so when we go after someone, I want to make sure that we have all the ducks in a row, that we're not doing something, you know, going off half-cocked, that we are very confident that we will be successful.
Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. Mark, always good to see you. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.